As we begin our second session today, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for another opportunity to pursue truth, to appropriate it within our souls, and to have it available for application to the exigencies of our day. To this end, we lift our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us in this endeavor, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. There are many other examples, other than the ones we noted in the first session, that pit cosmic viewpoint against divine viewpoint, and new issues are hatched daily that add to the conflict. It is amazing how things you never imagined would become issues in this country suddenly do. And they are imposed by law, and you therefore are bound to honor the king. There are still ways that you can circumvent some of these things, and you do so because you believe that inflexible standards would be violated otherwise. But this is how the encroachment of totalitarianism occurs historically. It is done in a very Fabian way. There was this Roman general, his name was Fabian, and he had the idea that he didn't have a strong enough army to break down the superior enemy, numbers-wise, so he just pecked them to death. Slowly but surely, he just gnawed away at them until he wore them down. And over a period of time, it suddenly became evident that Fabian was winning. And that's how so often things are imposed upon a free society. You take freedom just giblets at a time. A little bit here, a little bit there. Everyone says, okay, that's fine. We can orient it just to that. But over a course of 40 years, you don't realize it, but you're much like the frog dropped into a bucket of warm water and somebody turns the fire on underneath. He has every opportunity to jump out, but before he knows it, he's been boiled. And that's an example of what's happening to our country. And the reason for it is the loss of thought. We have lost the biblical orientation to the laws of divine establishment. We don't see that they're being violated. We do not recognize as a people that the divine institutions are being systematically disassembled. And obviously there's not a lot of doctrinal thought that goes on among the population, simply because there's no positive volition to the message. Now, there are a lot of mega churches, and I have a little brief diatribe on those, probably Tuesday. But there are a lot of mega churches that draw people like magnets, but when they get there, there's no food on the table. So what you do here is extremely important to the future of this client nation. How Jesus Christ controls history is directly dependent upon the inventory of ideas resident in the souls of believers. And whether He does things that will turn things around in a positive way for our country, or whether He permits it to go further in decline, all hinges on what you know, what you have in your soul, and what you're willing to apply to your daily life. Now, the major differences between pacifists that emerge from aggressive ideology and those that develop from biblical instruction are as follows. First of all, what is flexible to the cosmic pacifist is inflexible to the doctrinal pacifist. What is inflexible to the cosmic pacifist is flexible to the doctrinal pacifist. Okay, examples. What is flexible to the cosmic pacifist that is inflexible to the doctrinal pacifist? I gave you an example in the first session, homosexual lifestyles or any other type taught to small children. That would be an inflexible for you. You want to protect the child's soul. A child's soul doesn't need that information at ages 6, 7, and 8. Doesn't need any of it. Yet it is being imposed by law by those who believe that that is a flexible issue. To add maybe a spot of brief humor, what is inflexible to the cosmic pacifist is flexible to the doctrinal pacifist, the owning of an SUV. I think I don't need an SUV. Johanna and I just simply don't need that much of a car. But those of you who can afford it, I hope you buy two. And here's an idea, just for the fun of it. Leave it idling in your driveway one afternoon. I was just kidding. Secondly, the cosmic pacifist wants his inflexible standards imposed by means of force, while the doctrinal pacifist wants his inflexible standards accepted by means of influence. You influence people with your lifestyle, with your ability to present the information that is pertinent to the discussion. You salt your discussion with doctrinal principles, but you don't necessarily have to let them know passage and verse. If you take up a conversation with someone, bombard them with doctrinal viewpoint. But it is sometimes brings down a shade of disinterest when you quote Jeremiah 69:47. There's no such verse, but the point is, well, Jeremiah says thus and so. Well, they're out of the ball game at that point. But what you do is, in your own words, tell them what Jeremiah said, or John, or Isaiah, or whomever. Lord Jesus Christ is a good one to quote. But you don't want to quote it from the King James. They'll catch on that in just a heartbeat. Don't do the King James. But do it in your own words. But convey the information accurately and hit them with the truth. And some people respond to it and some people will react, but that's not your concern. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So you want to influence people. You do it by your lifestyle. You do it by the way you present the message. You do it by the way you there's several ways that you can present a lifestyle message. How you do your job. How you treat your wife. How you manage your children. How you function in society. There are any number of ways by which you present biblical concepts just by the way you run your life. And others, some, will see it and may strike up a conversation, and then you start hitting them with the doctrinal concepts that underlie your behavior patterns without necessarily at first identifying the source. You want to get positive volition. I've never thought of that before is a good thing to hear. Where do you get your ideas? Now you're getting the feedback you need. Cosmic pacifists seek to impose by law their beliefs upon everyone, while doctrinal pacifists seek to influence people to accept their beliefs by means of persuasion. Are you able to persuade others by the way you present your case? Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, as you recall the information, and you're very relaxed about it. See, nobody's keeping score and nobody's giving you a grade. This is not a contest. And therefore, you can be very relaxed about it. And so when you strike up the conversation, it's not your concern how it goes. If a person responds to information, you can continue to provide it. And they think you're brilliant. Those who respond, those who don't think you're a freaking idiot. But for those of you who find a listening ear, then you just continue to hit them with it. And they'll say, I've never heard anything like that before. You're so erudite. Then you're involved in persuasion. And you just keep going. And at some point, the Holy Spirit will let you know, okay, I'll tell you where to get this. Now, there's a story I've told before, but it's been a long time since I told it. And the person, I think, is a Dorito this morning. I'm not sure. But this person was in a university, not a very good one, but he was in a university. And he was studying there, and he had an apartment off campus, but it was a duplex. And so he would sit down at his desk on a daily basis and turn on one of the colonel's tapes. And he would listen to his tape, take the notes and what have you, and then go about his day. And after a good long while, the neighbor next door in the duplex came to him and said, "I hear this person talking every day over at your apartment. Who is that?" And the response was, "No one you'd be interested in." And that was the end of the conversation. And so a little while later said, "I still hear this voice over there. Is this some person that comes to visit you?" No, absolutely not. There's no one there. It's a tape recording. "What kind of tape recording is it?" "Nothing in which you would be interested." And so this conversation went on for a little while, and the fellow just kept coming back wanting to know who this was. And finally he said, "If I told you, you would not be interested. It's simply something that I don't think would be of any interest whatsoever to you." And that went on for a good long while. And finally the guy came to him one day and says, "I've got to know who it is you're listening to." And so he told him at that point. And the guy responded to the tapes and he became a taper himself. That's you just reel them in, see. And that's what Vic Modere did to this fellow. Vic Modere, bless his heart, is a Cajun. Actually, he's from Western Missouri, but he became a Cajun because he went to school at, shall I say it, LSU. Yikes. Bless his heart. But the point is you want to influence and persuade. That's the point. But there are many ways to do it, and you seek positive volition. And he was able to do none of those things, neither influence nor persuade, but understand that what he needed to see was positive volition, a desire, a yearning to know. And then he tossed it out there to see whether the guy would bite, and he did. So sometimes we want to force feed doctrine on people and they're not interested in this. I mean, we've picked up some new members here recently, and it sort of unnerves me when I see new faces in the church, because I think, oh my Lord, they're going to think we're wackos. They're going to call somebody, you know, and then there'll be an investigation and all of that business. But so far nobody's done that. And then they stay. And I think, well, that's good. The cosmic pacifist intimidates and punishes those who disagree with his beliefs. Intimidates and punishes. While the doctrinal pacifist prays for those who disagree with his beliefs. Pray for your enemy. Or, in this essence, pray for the one who disagrees. The issue is to get them around to the biblical way of thinking. It is not a contest. There's no scoreboard. You don't get mad with somebody because they disagree or are not interested. That's not your job. This world has got about 6 to 7 billion people, and only a small handful truly are involved in learning the Word of God. And it's certainly it's a microscopic number in the St. Louis metropolitan area. The cosmic pacifist intimidates and punishes those who disagree with his beliefs. While the doctrinal pacifist prays for those who disagree with his beliefs. Therefore, the cosmic pacifist is an intolerant totalitarian. While the doctrinal pacifist is a tolerant persuader. They impose by force. You persuade through grace. And it is the person that seeks to persuade through grace that the cosmic pacifist seeks to silence. There are a lot of barriers standing in their way and they can't get rid of them because they need to use them themselves in the course of promoting their propaganda. Freedom of speech is a big problem for them. They will impose censorship if necessary under hate crimes and that kind of thing in order to silence you. things I said this morning regarding homosexuality, I did not demean anyone. I simply quoted what's going on in Massachusetts. Bless their hearts. What's going on there? Do you agree with it? Do you have a right to agree or disagree? But there would come a day where that may be silenced in the state of Missouri. What do we do then? Orient and adjust? Is this inflexible to the point where we don't have Bible class anymore? I'm just tossing these ideas out. At what point do you deal with totalitarianism? No matter what category of pacifist, he ceases to be a pacifist when the inflexible standards of his belief system are challenged. Not a pacifist anymore. Don't take up guns, but they take up words. They take up laws. They intimidate. They persecute. They legislate. Just different weapons, but they've gone to war nonetheless. The Bible reveals that the cosmic pacifist beliefs have their source in darkness, while the doctrinal pacifist beliefs have their source in the light. According to John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and following. Do you believe it? Do you believe that your standards are based on the light, the immutable, divine, righteous standards of the Word of God? Immutable. Unchangeable, absolute veracity, dependable for life and conduct. The light of doctrine enables the believer to identify the essence of God, each characteristic revealing a different aspect of the divine personality. So when you take in the light of the Word of God and it's processed in the fashion that we noted earlier, how the eye gate receives frequencies that are processed in the color and sent to the visual cortex. The same light is revealed in the cardia when the information of the Word of God is processed by the Holy Spirit, is run by volition, and you say, yes, I perceive that, I understand it, and I want to retain it. It goes into the cardia, which is the soul's equivalent of the visual cortex, and you have epinosis. And that's something you can remember and apply. Do you believe it? You're not going to keep anything there very long if you don't believe it. That's noose. I don't believe that. But if you do believe it and it goes into the cardia, the Holy Spirit will recall it, and under His power you can apply it with confidence and with courage. The sum of the parts defines the whole, therefore. Whereas light is one in essence, it has a multiplicity of characteristics that are distinguished by the eyes of various creatures as color. And the eyes function on this diagram. It's interesting, isn't it, that there are three primaries. Who thought of that three thing? So here is a chart that shows the primary colors. These are for pigments. That's for Leo to worry about. But we're talking of light rays today, and that's over here, the primary colors of light, and that's for your eyes to worry about. For you have these receptors in there. And when you look at something like that chart, for example, is it in focus? Rarely so, but there you go. There are three colors on the right, and they're primaries. And your eyes look at this, and look at the red dot. That means that the red receptor in your eye receives that frequency and does not process the others. And therefore, it sends that frequency to the visual cortex, which interprets it as what we call red. That's English. And you have all these different languages that have a word for red. And everybody sees that frequency as red unless you're colorblind. And I even broached the subject of how does a blind person perceive color if they've never seen it. I don't know that my dad is blind and straight ahead. He's got macular degeneration. But he sees out on the edges and he sees a lot out there. But the red deal, the green deal and the blue thing, it's because the receptors in the eye process that and send it back to the visual cortex. And that is in here that you get color. There's no color out there. So you have to have something to process the frequency and therefore get it to the place where color becomes something you can identify. I'm going somewhere with this. The sum of the parts defines the whole. Whereas light is one in essence, it has a multiplicity of characteristics that are distinguished by the eyes of various creatures as color. In other words, the various frequencies that make up visible light are color-coded by receptors in the human eye and transferred to the visual cortex of the brain. The various characteristics that make up divine essence are explained by the Holy Spirit to the human spirit and then transferred, following volitional consent, to the cardia of the soul. And that's this chart right here. That's where you process the colors of the Word of God. As we've noted from several passages of Scripture, God is light, and this makes reference to His divine essence. The characteristics of His essence are illustrated by the various frequencies that make up visible light perceived in the human brain as color. Thus, without light, the human brain cannot perceive the world around him. With light, he is able to realize, conceptualize, and categorize his environment. If you are born blind, it is very difficult without assistance from others to conceptualize your surroundings. One of the famous people in Alabama is Helen Keller. She was blind and deaf. And of course, she was able to conquer her disabilities in a very magnificent way. But she had help. We bring the word, the politically incorrect word into view here. Handicapped. You know, visually disabled, audibly disabled. Those are euphemistic phrases to try and cover up the concept that somebody doesn't have all of his assets up and functional. And I'm honest to goodness, these are legitimate words in the dictionary. People somewhere up there, the politically correct crowd, sit around, I think, in smoke-filled rooms drinking Starbucks coffee, deciding what words they're going to ban the next day. And then inventing out of thin air some euphemistic phrase that's going to substitute for it. If you're handicapped and you cannot see, and you don't have any clue what color is, you have a hard time knowing what's around you. You can't see anything. And therefore, it becomes a teaching aid when the Lord moved through the incarnation, and He ran across people who were hearing the message but didn't believe it. He would say to them, you have eyes to see, but you don't see. And you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. And then there were occasions when you would have a person who was blind as a bat, who heard the message and understood it and believed it. And what he would do is he would heal that person and they would suddenly have sight. Instantly, because He is the great physician. And they had instant sight, instant visibility, instant processing of color, instant knowledge about their surroundings. Illustrating the fact that when you believe, you see the light. We have noted from several passages of Scripture, God is light, and this makes reference to His divine essence. The characteristics of His essence are illustrated by the various frequencies that make up visible light. These are perceived by the human brain as color. Thus, without light, the human brain cannot perceive the world around him, but with light, he is able to realize, conceptualize, and categorize his environment. Now, in similar fashion, without the light of divine revelation, the believer cannot accurately perceive the essence of God, distinguish its divine attributes, or discern His three personalities. With the light, he is able to realize through the teaching of the Holy Spirit the full essence of God, conceptualize it through objective analysis of the information, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, categorize it into epinosis understanding of its several characteristics. Paragraph B. Light is an analogy to the personalities of the Godhead. The electromagnetic spectrum consists of an infinite number of frequencies, light being among them, but making up an extremely small part of the whole. It's interesting to me what's going on out here. We see what we see with the best of vision. It's just this little slot here. And we think we're seeing it all. Good vision, 20/20. But what's going on out here? You wonder, don't you? Because what you see is simply frequencies. And the frequencies interpreted by the visual cortex, the little gizmos in the eye. And without that, you don't see the visible light. But what you see is real. What you can't see is real, too. And what is going on out here? All these frequencies are radiated by the sun and provide the human race with the essential logistics for basic needs. This is life. Without this, we don't function. Without the light of the Word of God, you don't function in the spiritual life. And that's why the Lord used this as an example in the incarnation, why John's using it here. Because the next thing he does is he brings up the subject of those who live in darkness. And if you're in the darkness, how do you get out of it? Without this, everything freezes solid at absolute zero. We've studied that. If you're an unbeliever, your soul is frozen at absolute zero. And your spiritual life is dead. You know nothing. And so when you see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you have a process, a system, a procedure by which you can acquire the thinking of God, which is defined as light. God is light. And we're going to see that it makes reference to the personalities of Godhead. We've seen how it makes reference to His essence. Essence of God, white light. The characteristics of divine essence, the colors. And you start with, you know, sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, the omni attributes, immutability, and veracity. That's the color. All these frequencies then are radiated by the sun. Over time, many of these frequencies have been harnessed to provide advanced technology that has prospered mankind. Visible light consists of six major sets of frequencies, beginning with violet, that has short waves and high frequencies, and diminishes to red, which has low frequencies and long waves. The wavelengths are measured in nanometers, one nanometer being the billionth, one billionth of a meter. Now, you can see this. The reason that I say sets is because the violet ranges from 380 to 450. And you look at this, you're going to say, well, that's in the neighborhood of violet. Which means it's a multiplicity of frequencies. You get hues and tints involved in all of this beyond these six colors here that are made up of and include the primaries. And then you move to blue, you go in 450 to 495. So in this range here, you've got blue. And then you start getting in the green category at 495 to 570. And that has its hues and tints. And then you get over here to yellow, 570 to 590, and then orange, 590 to 620, various hues and tints, and then red is 620 to 750, and then you are infrared, below the red range. That means you don't see this. And this is ultraviolet. You don't see that, but it's there. So those are the wavelengths. Now, adjacent to either side of the visible part of the spectrum are two sets of frequencies that are invisible to the naked eye. Ultraviolet radiation has shorter waves and higher frequencies than does violet's visible frequencies. Ultraviolet light cannot be seen and cannot be felt. Ultraviolet radiation is divided into two categories. For those of you who want to know, UVA 380 to 315. See, it starts right here at 380 and goes down. And then UVB 315 to 280. Overexposure causes sunburn of the skin, but the rays themselves are not felt when they strike the skin. By the way, if you're out on a cloudy day, Panama City Beach, you don't think, well, darling, I don't need to put on skin whatever number 23. It's cloudy today. And you may even have a nice Gulf breeze. But if you stay out all afternoon, you could be sold as a beet at the local vegetable stand. Infrared radiation has longer waves and lower frequencies than red's visible frequencies. Infrared radiation has longer waves and lower frequencies than red's visible frequencies. It cannot be seen, but it can be felt. And its heat is used in many kinds of therapy. Now, infrared's frequency range is between approximately 750 nanometers and 1 millimeter. Now, from the three categories of ultraviolet, visible, and infrared frequencies, we can illustrate the three members of the Trinity. Number one, God is illustrated by ultraviolet light. He cannot be seen or felt. Jesus Christ is illustrated by visible light. He can be both seen and felt. And we have studied John's testimony to these things. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit is illustrated by infrared light. He cannot be seen, but He can be felt. Now that is interesting because there are three members of the Trinity. There are three primary colors. There are three categories of light. Two that are invisible, one that is visible. All coming together to represent the three persons of the Trinity and their three personalities. Now, from the phenomenon of light, we find illustrations then that depict God as one, but with three personalities. The breakdown of visible light into its various frequencies that the human perceives as color demonstrates the characteristics of divine essence. God is one in essence, but with several attributes that define it. And a summary of all of this is provided by the Colonel in The Integrity of God, and we will note those excerpts beginning on Tuesday evening. Now, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the opportunity of studying these things. It's our prayer the Holy Spirit will take them and illuminate our souls with the doctrinal principles that pertain to them. We thank You for Your matchless grace, for the continuing provision of an environment for freedom, whereby we might continue to pursue truth and make the advance in Your perfect plan. Our endeavor is to glorify Christ. It is our prayer You would assist us with the clarity of thought necessary to bring this to pass. And we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Charis human kai arene. Plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.